But the most importantly, we also feel the future China economy also will be affected, inevitably, just by the economic policy adopted away by the Western power. But cooperation and competition, it's some kind of, we say, the controversy. But now it's still a central piece of China's international behavior. For that part, I think the Beijing will continue to promote, the China's cooperation with the West, while, of course, we also will just how say fight the West on economic front if such a trade of protectionism will be just how say surviving.
China's policies pursued with the Western world, particularly with the U.S., are dichotomous, if not bifurcated. To preserve economic interests on the one hand, they continue cooperating with the West. On the other, they are overprotective in order to prevent harm. This stimulates greater effort and activity in all domestic domains to enhance self-adequacy.
But since September 11, 2001, the two countries has established a fairly stable relationship. That means, although there are continual problems with regard to Taiwan and other issues, and despite the trade frictions, the two countries managed to have a workable relationship. And there have been no major crises between the two countries since 2001. And so this is basically a stable relationship. As to the future, some people predict that China and the United States will become rivals in international affairs. And the two countries may finally get into confrontation.
Yeah, I think in the future, the Chinese economy also will be facing a couple of the new challenges and somehow with a new difficulties. I think one of them is how to restructure the Chinese economic strategy now. China's economy has overwhelming dependence on the world market.
Industrial renovation and employing modern know-how has produced goods and exported them to all corners of the world. They have been instrumental in providing grounds for a sustained revision of policies. These re-examinations have been commensurate with the needs of the times. They are manifested in various shapes and forms. The fluidity of policies, or in other words, repeated role switching, enables Chinese statesmen to embrace new challenges.
I would like to emphasize that the Chinese leaders are now very busy with two things. The first thing is to switch the fashion of business, of economic development in general. So we are trying to switch from the business model of economic development model relying on investment to a development model relying on consumption. Because in China, we are consuming too little of what we produce. And also we are trying to switch from our reliance on the consumption of energy and the raw material consumption to the economic model of relying on research and development, to rely on technology progress. So that's the first thing our government leaders are busy with.
Another factor is we're also now facing some of, we say, inequity in terms of the different region and different social classes. So such an inequity also just begin noticed and also just now increasingly big. So they are also just caused a very big social stress if China's future development is not able to, we say, fight the inequity, also make more people just have better off on the justifiable base, such a social stress also will be threatening to the China's long stability in economic field.
On the one hand, revision of the economic model, and on the other, attending to social problems stemming from the rapid trend of development are the two major issues facing Chinese politics. Continual economic development has, despite the communist mottos, deepened class conflicts. Other than internal concerns, one significant international issue is keeping the minds of Chinese politicians constantly busy.
I think that with the demise of the Soviet Union, U.S. become the only superpower in the world politics. It's a reality I think that China now is facing. From the official perspective, Beijing prefers to see a multipolar system rather than unipolar system. So we also have a very steady and a clear-cut anti-hegemon policy. We don't think that America's unipolar system will be, we say, conducive to the China's national interest. And moreover, we'd like to see unbalanced American's power is also a threat to China.
The notion of balance of power and the emergence of a unipolar global power structure gained immediacy following the disintegration of the Soviet Union. Worn-out political foundations, coupled with internal challenges and pressure, both overt and covert, brought about the collapse of one of the world's superpowers. From the American politician's standpoint, the fall of the communist system in country of communes was a prelude to conquering all world powers. The next step was deemed to be sidelining countries such as China or even European states, for which several guidelines became staple U.S. agenda items.
Well, the question is about whether the United States will formulate an anti-Chinese coalition to divide China, to weaken China. Well, some Americans are thinking about this, and they think they are very powerful. And the Soviet Union disintegrated in the late 1990s, late 1980s and early 1990s. But China is a very united country. We are not the Soviet Union. And China in these 30 years, in the latest 30 years, has developed our economy and strengthened the political stability and the national unity.
In order to better appreciate the reasons of China's resistance for survival, it's necessary to take another look at this ancient country's culture and traditions. In the cultural system of this age-old nation, people are keen on turning within and proceeding based on intrinsic power and with perseverance, as though practicing a traditional sport, which ultimately enhances their strength and stamina, one that seeks power from within. This method is visible in the major policies pursued by Chinese statesmen. They are the most silent of world politicians. Yet despite this calm and composure, they pursue their aims vigorously and attain them.
So from that point, I think that China always just strongly favor multipolarity future in the world's relationship. But the problem is if the China just use such a mutually aligned politics, for example, allying Japan or Russia or other power to form a new military bloc, balancing the U.S., it's just one of the options. I can't say it will be totally excluded, but for time being, it's not in the China's interest. Well, because China and the U.S. even has some of a strategical competition, but we still benefit a lot from the economic and trading, you know, relationship. Actually, we have some of the, we say, common interests to share between Washington and Beijing.
Chinese traditions are predicated on physical mortification and profound meditation. Now, however, based on their time-honored customs, they proceed to experience new operating procedures on the global scene. They are fully conscious of the fact that their desire for ascendancy and actualizing the concept of Asian identity with a Chinese focus will not be viewed kindly. Returning Taiwan to the mainland in pursuit of a greater China is in no way agreeable to other world powers, especially the U.S.
And some Americans are now proposing that they should be strengthening their relationships with Japan, South Korea, Australia, India, and one part of China, which is Taiwan, and then Vietnam and other countries. And some are proposing that they can formulate a sort of a democratic league or democratic alliance. And the aim, of course, is China. I think these are fantasies. These are not realistic. Some countries want to maintain their military relationship with the United States, for instance, Japan. Even South Korea will not join this kind of association against China.
My dear Sparrow, I suppose it's about time we talk about peace instead of war and conflict. Truthfully speaking, the constant research about crises has only brought me distress, so much so that at times I feel as restless as you act. How can one be calm and at peace with oneself and present others with nothing but friendship? I'm not sure how far you've been accompanying me on my journey or how carefully you've been heeding my letters. I will, at any rate, be looking forward to hearing from you and finding out how things look from your point of view. Truth has a way of shaping our lives today and well into the future, all over the world. Awaiting your reply, Lars.